Genesis chapter 41. The journey of the bridal type seen in the life of Joseph. I pray it continues to pour encouragement to your heart. I've been so thankful to get so many notes and comments throughout the week. Brother, this is just for me. I'm in this right now, you know, and that's how God does it. And I pray that we see these things and just thank him more and more. And as we come to this 41st chapter tonight, I was thinking how, you know, in the first five or six studies, I think this is the ninth study, if I'm right, I don't know for certain. But we saw the presence of the encouragement of these bridal things in the events that Joseph went through. We saw very clearly there is such a dual encouragement there. We see the life and the type of Christ Jesus, amen. But we also see the beauty of the bride. And as we begin to rejoice more and more in this place, and the light upon light continues to be poured forth, we realize that the bride has always been everything to him and with him in thought, in type, in shadow. And you have to remember, we're talking about the Word of God. So it's going to be with him in the Word. And it's going to be with him throughout the Word because he loves her so, because it's his glory. So that glory will come forth, and you don't force things. You just thank the Lord. You wait upon God, and he'll show you. And as the line upon line and precept upon precept continues to come forth, isn't it amazing? I remember how that brother said, he said, the Lord just keeps connecting more and more dots for me. And I said, amen. He just does it. You know, it's a masterpiece in how he brings us to these things. And I love it because that's the excitement of the lover that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, at first we saw the things that he went through. We saw in the dreams that he was given. We saw the bridal in the word that was given to him that sustained him through it. Last week was he had a little bit of a transformation in that testimony. In the 40th chapter, we saw the bridal types in Joseph's response, his testimony to adversity. The full overcomer, by the grace of God, will always have that attitude that is optimistic. There's still hope. Even when it's one furnace after another furnace, after another furnace, after another furnace. The joy is continual because the bride's heart is locked into the faithfulness of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We're not always, and I'll just testify of myself, I'm not always at my best in trial. But he is. You see what I'm saying? But he is. See, and that's the overcomer's attitude, is it ain't on me. Praise God. He wants me to cast all my care upon him. Amen? See, I'm not to carry anything. He carries it all for me. I cast it upon him. And as the enemy tries to get me down and tries to get me in a place that, and I do, I throw up my hands and I say, Lord, I'm not my best in this. And he says, praise God, now the power of Christ is going to rest upon you, son. See, I just think of Christians, we tend to look at ourselves too highly. Look at ourselves at all, it's too highly. Well, I should be better at this. Get over yourself. Quit. You're not a legend in anybody's mind, and especially, please, not yours. If you really understand yourself before God, put it on him. Put it on him. That's the overcomer's attitude. I never fail when I put it on him. When I'm failing and I put it on him, I'm not failing. Amen? Come on. This is our Lord. This is it. The dreams were Joseph's reality, not his circumstances. And I think you should write that down. I'm not kidding you. I think that's so beautiful that God gives us these things to think of. The dreams were Joseph's reality, not his circumstances. That was not his reality. His reality, what God had shown him, it was the Word of God. And is the Word of God your reality, or is it your circumstances? Everything we face, everything we come into, every hardship, every reality of life. But yet, is it the circumstances, is it the reality of life, or is it the reality of the Word of God? It's huge. It's everything, isn't it? because that's faith. Praise be to God. And this is what increases that faith, and this is what quickens that faith. And this is when we meet those challenges. It's amazing. It's that Holy Ghost data bank that he keeps bringing back to us. Oh no. I know if he be for me, who could be against me? I know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know that this is a tough trial, but I know he's already made the way of escape. I know those things. See, these are the things by the grace of God that's not just sayings, that's our life. And it's the life we live. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that is the power that works in our life. Why not tap into it always? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for it. So tonight we go on with the bridal testimony, and it's going to transform once again. And tonight we're going to see it in the message that Joseph brings forth. The bridal highlight is shown in the prophecy that's shown through the word of God in raising Joseph to rule in Egypt. Now we're going to do quite a bit of reading here. So let's go ahead and get into that 41st chapter. My eyes are tired tonight, so I'm going to need these. And it says here from verse 1. Now remember, we left off when Joseph in chapter 40, he'd revealed the dreams to the butler and the baker. And he told the baker, you know, you're going to be hung by your neck, butler. You're going to be restored back to your place, to Pharaoh. Remember me. But remember what the last verse was? But the butler forgot him. And we know that it's on God's timing. It's on God's timing. So here we go. And it came to pass at the end of the 2 full years, the Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by a river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the river, the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and he dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon the stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears of corn, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. See, this was God's time. Amen. Because there was testimony here that was going to be brought in. See, this beauty of what was going forth, it wouldn't come forth any other way. And as we're going to read tonight and be encouraged in heart tonight, this was for us. They wrote those things for us. There's bridal message in this. There's a thick one in here, praise God. And again, we're just going to look at probably just a little bit of the surface, what God has in here for us. Then spake the chief butler, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant, put me in the ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. We told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment, came in unto Pharaoh. And I love that that hastily. It's like a lightning strike. It's matter of fact, that's we're going to see here. This is the bride when she's taken up. Boom. So this is what's so beautiful here. It's just so many things in here. So. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Isn't that beautiful, the humbleness that's in this precious brother? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. Behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And this is cattle. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them, poor and ill-favored, and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. So, I mean, these are bad, sick. He'd never seen such sick things. And the lean and the ill-favored kind ate up the first 7 fat ones. And when they did eat them, it could not be known why they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as it is the beginning, so I awoke. So they ate them up, and they didn't get any fatter. They were still just as ugly as ever. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears had come up, and one stalk full and good. Behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And then the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, and there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of the Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kind ears are 7 ears, and the 7 good ears are 7 years, and the dream is one. And the 7 thin ears, ill-favored kind, and that came up after them after the 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do and to show unto Pharaoh. So I show him there's going to be 7 fat years, and then there's going to be 7 lean famine years that they've never seen before. And behold, there. And then in 29 it says, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be gotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. So this fat time is even going to be forgotten because of this ill time is so grievous. All right? Even though that fat time was awful fat. 32. And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let him keep food in the city, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Isn't that beautiful? He testified to that old Pharaoh. It wasn't just about his wisdom. It was the Spirit of God. Isn't that beautiful? And I love that. The power of his might, all of that. And again, it just encourages my heart that, you know, we need to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost will do just that. Praise his name. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Listen to that. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the 2nd chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Now there we have such an incredible Christ type there. We see that very clearly in what God brings forth in this. But let's get in here a little further. And let the Lord bring this back to us and show, oh, my bride's right here with me in prophecy as well, too. So we have these 7 years of fat. And these 7 years of fat represent the perfection of the absolute grace age and the times that we currently live in. That 7 speaks of perfection. And we're in this perfect grace age. I mean, it's perfection. It's so fat. The rain is so full. This latter rain is pouring. And those that don't want to enter in, you need your head and heart examined, because Jesus is coming, and he's showing this, and just as plain as he showed Joseph, and just as it was given that this was sufficient witness, because he gave him the 2 dreams. It was a double portion of witness. You know what the bridal encouragement is through the Apostle Paul? It's a double portion of witness, and we have this, don't we? And you see it, and you have to not want to see the bridal message and the truth. You really do. You have to reject it, because God would want you to have it. You know that. He said that I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. You know that. And he's no respecter of person. So if we're going to not see it, it's because we've chosen not to see it. I can't blame that on anybody else. And it was just like this. Joseph, it was made so clear to him, and he made it so clear to all these others. Let me tell you something. It's going to be the fattest time, fellas. This is it. And we got to go get it. Amen. You got to go get it. And so, praise the Lord, this absolute abundance, it says that they almost couldn't even contain it. I feel like that always, don't you? Praise God. Don't you feel like you're about ready to burst? Lord, I can't get any more full, and yet he stretches you out and he puts a little bit more in every day, if you'll let him. And that's the beautiful thing about our God. And as Joseph was told by God, and here's what he said, lay it up, amen, lay it up, lay it up, lay it up. That's what rulers do. Do you understand that? Joseph was a ruler. Joseph was reigning all the time. Rulers lay it up. Children squander. They waste time. They don't lay it up. God has warned us, hasn't he? Very clearly. There's a tribulation coming. You best be ready. And it's not to lay it up like many people want to. I've got food stocked in my basement. No, it's not laying it up here. You got food stocked in your basement? Well, that's kind of a sad thought. You're planning to go through it. So in other words, what you've done is you've taken a palm. He's given me a crown. So he'll take me out of it before it gets here. And by the way, he's even assured, if I'll believe him in it, he'll have me ruling and reigning with him over it while it's going on, directing things. Praise God. And as we'll see here in just a, we get back all in a Revelation study here in a minute, but I thank the Lord that we do know Revelation, that by the grace of God we can understand and receive the things in here. And it's not that you just know it once, you go back and you read it again and again, and it's just, it becomes more real all the time. So thank the Lord for those things. But this is what we're doing tonight. See, we're laying it up. That's what rulers do. We are laying it up in the storehouse. There are folks that say, well, I know the bridal message. I don't need to hear it anymore. Well, you're not laying it up. You're a child. You're arrogant. And you're not in first love. I just will tell you as it is. Because if I had that attitude, I'm going to be arrogant about it. I need to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him more. I thank the Lord for all of the opportunity he's given me through my years. I thank God for the things that he's allowed me to experience, to achieve in life. But I thank the Lord all the way through it. Those things never had me. I thank the Lord this message in this place is what's had me. Amen. Let it have you. Let it continue to have you. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Well-doing is just hear it. Take the cup of salvation. We're all taking. We got this giant cup. We're just drinking out of it tonight. And this is, it's a wedding feast, praise his name. We'll get to that here in a minute, maybe. I don't know. We might be face to face in a minute. But notice here, the authority, it said, was given to those that will apprehend it. See, Pharaoh in verse 34, he said, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers of the land, the fifth part of the land of Egypt, even in the plenteous years. And he says here that some are going to be governors over it. And that's great. You know, he's going to have governors. But it was Joseph that he made second in command. It was Joseph. See, that was that chosen. The chariot next to Pharaoh. Isn't that beautiful? Well, if you go back and you read about kings and queens, the queen had the chariot next to the king. And we understand that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. And we know that that will be given to him. That throne will be given to him. As we go into that tribulation and then go in especially into that millennial time, he'll rule over it all for those 1,000 years. But as well at the right hand of the king is the queen. And you ask Bathsheba, it was a pleasure of hers and a privilege to sit at the right hand of Solomon. Praise God. These are just little things, but they sure mean a lot, don't they? Now, Immediately after this age of absolute grace, that's going to be the time when the time shall be no more. When you read in the Word of God and you hear the verse, when time shall be no more, that's that moment that that seven plenteous years in type and shadow of this great grace age that we're in, it ends. It's over. And at that moment, there's not this, well, let's get ready for the famine. The famine begins. It's immediate. It just, it's a shut off. And what that changeover is, it's the voice of the archangel. It's the trump of God. It's the Lord calling his bride away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I'm confident that's going to be the trumpet's voice. And she's going to be gone. When he who is hindered is taken out of the way, this is when this famine is coming forth. This is when that a seven-year famine, the tribulation, like never has been seen before. And you think about the things that have been seen on this earth. The murder, the killing, the savagery, the rape, the pillaging, the evil. You hadn't seen anything yet. When the devil, about in the middle of the tribulation, is unleashed like a roaring lion, it's going to be, oh, it is going to be bloody like no one could ever even imagine. Now, the hour of temptation will come up on the whole earth. Let's go on over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. And keep that there. Now, this is the speaking to of the Church of Philadelphia. And what a commendation like none other that these sweet ones receive. And in verse 10 it describes it. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That translate in the Greek, the tribulation. Okay? The tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, this is the moment of that transition. This is the moment of that bride taken. The famine begins. Judgment begins. The bridal company is seen here. I mentioned that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, that's them. The dead in Christ shall rise, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the air. That's that transition. That's that moment, praise God, that this is speaking of. The ones that are alive and remaining, they're the ones that are prepared. They are the ones that laid it up. By the grace of God, this is what the Lord's doing in our lives tonight. We're falling deeper and deeper in first love. We're loving his appearing. You wouldn't hear this message by the grace of God unless you loved his appearing. And I love to hear the message of his appearing. Praise God. It's my abounding hope. It's what I live for. I thank the Lord. I have many beautiful things. I love my children. They're here tonight. I'm grateful to God. I love my family of God. I'm so thankful to Jesus. But I live to see him. That's it. And in a moment, I'm going to step right on across that, and I'm going to see him. My faith's going to be made sight. All this beautiful truth, praise God, of what he's given me. All that expectation. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then by the grace of God, to share that joy with you, my beloved brethren. I know some of you will be there elbowing me, seeing, saying, I told you, brother. And that's okay. That's okay. I want you to be confident in the Lord. I do. There's nothing more I want. You know, don't you, Larry? He loves you, man. He sought you like a heat seeker. You couldn't get away. No way. And I thank the Lord for that. But see, this is those that love his appearing. And by the grace of God, who knows? It might be for us tonight. But the bride seen in the Philadelphia church is spared that famine and that judgment. And matter of fact, not only are they spared, but truly we are as in Joseph in type. Joseph's not only spared of this, he ascends to rule and reign over it all through it. See, the Christ Jesus and his bride together will meet the needs of his people that did not enter into the first rank. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just like Joseph. Joseph is going to meet the needs of his family. Did you know that? Because they're going to come back in this famine time, and Joseph's going to be the one that gives them the food. Yes, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? See, together, hallelujah. Jesus and his bride will sustain and encourage the innumerable multitude before they're taken. They'll sustain and encourage the 144,000 before they're called up. So many places in the Word of God, but let's go on over to Revelation 4:6. Let's just read one sweet verse. One sweet verse that just gives you such a thrill. Now we know that these angels are the messengers that fly around and do different things from the throne as the commander, our Lord and Savior, tells them to do this and do that as we're participating by the grace of God. Again, I call those things which be not as though they were. I'm believing that he'll perform the good work in me that he's begun. I know that I have not apprehended it yet, but I still am confident in his grace. And I thank the Lord. I will read it in these terms, that this is us by the grace of God. And not that we have apprehended, but I do believe him for this. He's faithful to his word. He is faithful to his word. Believe in his word. Thank you, Jesus. But here in verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to what? To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Thank you, Jesus. And we that are alive and remaining right now by the grace of God, we're preaching this right now, aren't we? We everything to him. They're just working on the roof over here. We had a fall in, so the rumbling, I don't know, heaven might be opening up right now. So there you go. Have sound effects tonight. So Joseph took his place. And you know how Joseph took his place? He believed God. That's all he did. Joseph took his place because he believed God. Amen. Joseph could have panicked. He could have fled. He could have thought all the time, how am I going to escape out of here? You know, that's the kind of movies we like. You get into a bad predicament, let's escape. Joseph knew that his life had no bad predicaments. His life was fully purposed for one thing. Lord, you've given me the vision. You're going to perform it. God, give us that faith. Quit trying to wiggle out of stuff. And Lord, let me just get closer into your breast. You're here. We're in the perfect place. Why am I going to try to mess up a good thing? Every time I try to get out, I mess it up. Every time I enter in, it gets better because he's building faith. So, do we believe God for our place? And I do pray we do. See, all this comes from the word. All of it came from the vision. Think of the very first words that were spoken as we entered into this story. Joseph, you're my favorite. Joseph, I love you more than all the others because you're the son of my old age. How did you do that, Joseph? How did you work to become the son of my old age? See, that would be crazy. Well, I waited for all my brothers to be born and then I jumped in my mom's womb. Is grace, absolute grace. See, the divine purpose of grace and where we're at and what we've been chosen for. And here we are in this time. We are the children of our Father's old age. And I love the message we have. We have the first love message. And I thank the Lord. It's all throughout the Word of God. Jesus made known that Joseph ruled over it all. Amen. His brothers will find out. Absolutely. And they're in awe. That's our brother. Everything he told us and all that he believed, you know what? He was right. We mocked him. How many Christians have mocked you for what you believe? Told you were arrogant and nuts and wrong. The Word of God is never wrong. Amen. Lay everything on it. Go after it fully. Praise be to God. And what else? So think of this. I'm going to make you known to all, Joseph. They're going to come down and bow before your feet, Joseph. And you're going to rule and reign over it all, Joseph. Now, thanks be to God. That sounds mighty familiar. I've heard those things too. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And it's all because why? Because we know Paul's gospel. We enter into the hidden truths in the Old Testament, and we see the type, the shadow, the metaphor here through Joseph for us. And you continue to see it. You continue to see it. And we hear and we believe in this divine grace, and we transform into the bride. Think of this. In the Song of Solomon, what does he tell us? You're the choice one of your mother. Praise God. I've always told my brothers and sisters that. No, I'm just. I had to defend myself for what they told me, but I can't tell you here from a pulpit. The favorite in Esther, his love for her surpassed all the other women. Think about these things the Bible talks about. Think about the quotes that are so intimate, that are just jumping out of nowhere. Why does the Word of God tell a story that specifically? Why does it have those things jump out? Because he can't help himself to tell his bride this. These were the things that were written for us. These were the things that were going on. They understood the faithfulness of God. Amen, they did. That's why we have Hebrews chapter 11. The worthies of faith, they saw that divine faith. They laid hold of the best to be full overcomers of the Old Testament. But the things that were hidden within the things that they went through and experienced in the Word of God that was being written, it was so incredible and so powerful. It had to be written through the body of Christ. Oh, think of that. It had to be written through the body of Christ because the rib had to receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, then you go over to Romans 8. And what does it tell you there in Romans 8? Because you suffer with me, you're going to rule and reign with me. And then we're going to be glorified together with him. Amen? You think Joseph suffered a bit? I think he did. I think there was much that he needed, had to go through, because there was a proving of the Word of God in his life that Joseph didn't even understand, that we don't understand. But the Lord is faithful to perform it. And all of those things, like we read on Sunday, remember about finally we got to the love being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How did that even begin to foster? It was because through tribulation. So here we go again. There's something about that suffering that's very dear to him. Matter of fact, the suffering of the cross was the most dear thing for all eternity. Okay? He's going to draw us in. Because we're one with him. It's the pierced side on the cross. He foresaw these things. It's all there. And we thank God for this. Well, then finally in Revelation 3:9, and we're right there anyway, so let's just go ahead and go back there, 3:9. And what does it say there? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Well, I'll tell you what, Joseph got something, but by the grace of God, I'm getting something more. I don't get to just rule and reign. I don't just get to be glorified together with him. I got the best part. He's going to make known that he loves me. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm thankful for. And I thank God he works that in us. And just like Joseph, how does this happen? By hearing. See, without hearing, you're never going to receive this. Right? He that hath an ear, what do we have to do with this ear? Let him hear. Isn't that amazing? Didn't say he that has hands, let him work. You know, let him hear, let him hear, let him hear, let him hear. And we hear. And then from hearing, there's a thing called wondrous grace again that causes us to believe. See, we need the grace of God to believe. Right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But we know it's all by grace. And then, as we believe, we need to be strengthened. And boy, I'll tell you, see, that's that Spirit of God. That's that wonderful, precious power of his might now, that Holy Ghost. And he gives us that enlightened eyes of understanding. And in the enlightened eyes of understanding, we see that vision, don't we? And we see that vision as the greatest reality of our life. I do ask you here, is not truly, we got each and every one of us by the grace of God down to the nitty-gritty of nitty-gritties. What does it really mean? What is your life all about? Amen. And it is to be in that bride. That's what you've been given. That's who you are in Christ. And I look out here and so much talent and things and experiences and wonderful family people and capable and been put in authority for different things and all of that. And thanks be to God. It's a testimony to him. But that's not your life. That is not your life. It's never been your life. It's not your calling. That's what's so gorgeous. And that's why we don't have to fret and worry. I know where my increase comes from. It ain't from a man. It ain't from a promotion of man. Amen. It's not from my friends thinking I'm really great. It comes from the hand of God. It comes from the hand of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So by the grace of God, we hear, we believe, those enlightened eyes of understanding, the vision is so real. We live every moment and we live for that through every trial because our day is coming. And I'll even say it like this, saying this to Jesus, our day, my love, is coming. It is. Our day, my love, is coming. It's our day. The Lord's day. It's our day. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's our day. By the grace of God, he needs his bride to have his day. Because it's our day. And so in closing, I want you to really notice. I know we went through this quickly, but this is how God does sometimes. Joseph reigned in the fat times and he reigned in the lean times. He just reigned. When you're holding a crown, you're holding a crown. That's all I can say. Huh? When you're holding a crown, you're holding a crown. And when you're holding a palm, you're never going to hold a crown. You can't hold two. It's either one or the other. You know, it's going to be one or the other. And brothers and sisters, see, we are not waiting for a tribulation to reign. Do you know that? If you're waiting for the tribulation to reign, you ain't reigning. Ones that will reign in faith right now. I reign in faith right now. There's a confidence by the grace of God. And I know sometimes, I'm going to tell you people, some folks that know the bridal door, oh, that brother, he just speaks too highly. I could never speak too highly of the grace of God. I could never speak too highly of the grace of God. I could never speak too highly of the grace of God. That is with me. That is my confidence. And I know this for certain. If I make that grace vain in my life, I will not attain. I won't. But I know that that grace in my life, it can't miss that mark. It can't miss. That's what it is. So why not rejoice in what is and is all powerful and is the all sufficiency in all things always to have me to superabound to every good work? Amen? And it's all grace. Thank you, Jesus. So in that reigning in faith now, I call those things which be not as though they were. By the grace of God, I enter in faith in these things that are spoken of here. I'm there. I'm there. I told you. I've stood up on this chair before. It's just, again, an analogy. There's nothing powerful about that chair. It's a chair. But God can use it. He can use that. Just like he can use the likes of us. Amen? But I see by the grace of God and I enter into that. And I mean, I see. I see me standing with him. I see us standing with him by the grace of God. And we're not a group. We're one. It's a company, but she's still one. We enter into that, God willing, that'll be Sunday when we're tightly fit and compacted together. And that just doesn't happen on Sundays. But that's it, see? Those are the ones that are reigning, that will reign, I should say, in the tribulation and for all eternity to come. The Word of God says the wife, his wife, hath made herself ready. She's already married to him. We've went through that many times about the ancient Hebrew wedding. The only thing that awaits is the return of the bridegroom, the honeymoon, and the marriage feast. That's it. We're married. I'm just waiting for him to come. We're going to go on our honeymoon. There's going to be a consummation. That's what that is. It's not to be weird. It's just what it is. Let's read Genesis 24. It's all right there. And then there'll be the feast. And this is vital to really understanding and knowing this, because this is the true love of the bride and the bridegroom. And I like this. They've already eloped. They already eloped. Think of it that way. They've eloped. They're married. And it's just a matter of time when they're going to let and make known the marriage to all. Amen? The time that he makes known to all. Yeah. By the way, here's my wife. Come on now. Everybody, come on now. Let's bow down in front. Bow down in front. She's worthy to be praised with me. She's my glory. She's the work of my grace. By the grace of God, I think we'll just stop there. I had some other things, but Lord willing, if he tarry, I'm sure there'll be a few more nuggets in here. I don't know what they are, but I'm counting on him. You can never, ever, ever exhaust him. I know that. So we thank God for it. Let's stand, be dismissed. Hallelujah.